KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, watching the NOAA weather forecast apprehensively as we begin our broadcast. When I checked it earlier, it said hazardous weather conditions, and it was just a little slick driving in. But I am very, very happy that it isn't worse because our first guest, Aaron Lehman, just drove in from his farm south of Ames. How was it, Aaron?
It was a little slow going, but we managed.
Okay. And you're here, and we've got some important things to talk about because we have been getting lots of questions here, right here at KHOI, mm-hmm. about what happens when Steve King is not on the Agriculture Committee anymore.
Sure.
And I figure that Aaron, who is the president of the Iowa Farmers Union, mm-hmm. would have been watching that. And maybe do you want to say anything about the Iowa Farmers Union before you start talking about your advocacy in Washington?
Sure. So the Iowa Farmers Union is the oldest farm organization in Iowa. We're over 100 years old. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We work on education. We work on cooperatives and helping farmers work together. We also work on legislation, both in Des Moines and in Washington. And I'm the president of the Iowa Farmers Union. I farm just outside of Alleman, and I'm a fifth-generation farmer there.
To get to our big question,
sure.
What's happening with the Agriculture Committee in Congress?
Well, it's been over 100 years since Iowa has been without a member on the Agriculture Committee. That briefly changed when Representative King was removed from the Agriculture Committee and from all committees. Since that time, Iowa has had a member of our delegation appointed to the Agriculture Committee, so we once again have a member of the Ag Committee, and it's Cindy Axne from the southwest part of the state. She's sitting on the Ag Committee, so we're happy that there is some representation there.
Well, we tried to call her, but her office is pretty busy, so she wasn't able to talk to us this morning.
Sure.
But I'm sure that there's lots for a first-term congressperson to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, can you tell us then, in practical terms, why we need to have a member of the Iowa delegation on the Ag Committee?
Yeah, it's extremely important that we have Iowans on the Ag Committee. We in Iowa rely on agriculture in every aspect of our lives, so it's extremely important that we have people on the Agriculture Committee at all times. It's really important now to have someone on the Agriculture Committee because we just passed a new farm bill. And as the farm bill, it sets agriculture policy for 5 years. And once that is passed, as it was at the end of the last Congress, all the programs have to be implemented. And there's lots of decision making going on and how all those programs are put in place. So it's extremely important that we have the farm bill implemented in the right way. Plus, there's lots of trade issues going on that are really on the front of people's mind, and ethanol issues that the new Ag Committee are going to have to examine.
So ethanol is part of the Ag Committee, not just the EPA?
That's right. The Agriculture Committee typically has a role in ethanol issues as well. We've had a lot of upset in the renewable fuels issue recently. For a couple different reasons. One is that we've been working for some time to allow a higher blend of ethanol, E15, to be sold year-round. And that's been an issue that we've been working on for many, many years, is to try to get permission to sell that year-round. And now that we've gotten it in the last farm bill, there's only so much time between now and summer to get that policy in place. Otherwise, we've missed a huge opportunity for the ethanol industry. So the Ag Committee will be overseeing a lot of that as it goes forward. The government shutdown set that process back, but the Ag Committee will be overseeing that as well. The other issue that we had with ethanol is that this has been very, very disturbing. We have a renewable fuel standard, and that to make sure that we have ethanol blended and consumers have the choice to have it at the pump. Otherwise, the refiners probably would just choose their own oil product to put on there rather than having the farm-raised product as a choice. Well, sometimes refiners in the past have gotten an exemption if they were small or if they showed some sort of hardship, one-time hardship. They were able to get an exemption to get by until they could get up with the standard again. But what we started seeing is that huge refiners, some making profits, millions and millions and millions of dollars of profits, were given permission to not blend ethanol at all. And that meant that the market for ethanol went way down, and that hurt the price of corn at a time farmers really couldn't afford to have the price of corn hurt anymore.
But there's a lot more than ethanol that's in that farm bill.
Yes.
Do you want to mention anything else that's of particular concern to the Farmers Union?
Sure. Well, there's all sorts of things in the Farm Bill, and we're very happy that it passed, but they all take a lot of work to get implemented. And that includes conservation programs that were adjusted, some updated in the new Farm Bill. They have to be ready to go for farmers to use when farmers are ready to go in the spring. The Farm Safety Net programs that provide subsidies for farmers when prices are low, those have to be reset and put in place. So that's very important to have done so farmers have some certainty about what their safety net is going to be coming into the coming year. In addition to that, all the rural development programs that help our rural communities, those programs have to be aligned and implemented and up and running in the proper way. So there's a lot to the Farm Bill, and it's going to be a very important year for the Ag Committee.
And, of course, it's the USDA that oversees that. Is
that's
that
right?
Right?
Yeah, the USDA oversees all those things.
Mm-hmm. How can other congresspeople who aren't on the committee foster that? In fact, I think you told me something about an award that was given to another congress, was not given to Steve King. Could you talk about that award and who won it and why?
Sure. Yeah. Every year we try to recognize those who have worked very hard on behalf of agriculture in Iowa, for family farmers, for sustainable agriculture. And we award those on a bipartisan basis. We've often given rewards to both parties. This year we gave one award, and that was our Golden Triangle Award at the National Farmers Union. We gave that to Representative Loebsack and his work on farm safety net issues, on ethanol issues, on trade issues was really exemplary. And we had other people come before us who were considered. Both Senator Grassley and Senator Ernst had merits that we considered this time, and certainly Senator Grassley has earned awards in the past. This year, we gave out the one award. That's where we stopped.
When I spoke to you earlier, you said something that was very interesting to me about bipartisanship in the Ag Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of all the committees in Washington, by far the one that works in the most bipartisan manner is the Agriculture Committee. And that's a long-standing tradition. It's been this way for decades. Now, there are exceptions to that. This year's House Ag Committee, for instance, chose to take a much more partisan route. They wanted to force through a farm bill that had huge cuts to nutrition programs. The Democrats balked at that. They felt it was going to blow apart the coalition that you have to pass a farm bill. And ultimately, there were those changes that the House wanted. They backed down, and the bipartisan bill eventually passed. And that's usually the case. Very rarely do we have a farm bill that is completely partisan. And the Ag Committee reflects that. There's usually quite a bit of work across the aisle in the Ag Committee.
Another question that I had was this year, of course, you mentioned trade issues.
Yes.
And I thought that even our president was suggesting larger subsidies to help the farmers who'd been damaged by the trade policies.
Yes. And, you know, we could see it on our farm. Farmers around the state could see it on their farm last summer. We've been dealing with low prices for some time. This is not a good time for farmers. Farmers are tightening their belts. They're trying to figure out ways to cut their costs. Unfortunately, they're not able to make the investments on their farm that they really ought to be making. The one commodity price that was hanging in there for farmers and was propping up some of the farm was soybeans. Their prices had not dropped nearly as bad, and we could see some reasonable returns on soybeans. Last summer, though, a trade war was initiated by the administration against China, and our prices in most cases dropped 20% on soybeans, the one crop that was hanging in there for us. And, of course, other things were hurt, too, dairy and of course, pork as well. So that really, really hurt, and we're just trying to recover from that. So it was a very damaging situation.
Another thing that I believe you have covered in the Farm Bill is crop insurance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And with the predictions that are coming in about climate change, what's that going to do to crop insurance?
Yeah, long term, there's some real concerns about there. How do we insure crops in an era of climate change? That takes a lot of work to figure out what's the impact going to be. And that's one of those things that we give our USDA to do, our Department of Agriculture to do, is to research these issues and make sure that we're adapting our programs to deal with the adapting situation we have on the farm.
Is flood insurance in the Ag Bill, or is that somewhere else?
It also is other places as well, but the crop insurance covers a number of conditions that we face on the farm. So
yeah, and of course, in Iowa, you can get anything.
That's right.
You can get a drought. You can get a flood.
That's right.
It's one of the jokes that we tell about Iowa weather.
You just wait a little while, and it'll change. Yes,
flood in the spring, drought in the summer.
Yes. And the recent studies that we've heard from say that the challenges that farmers face because of climate change are only going to grow here in Iowa. So that those are very challenging issues that we have to face long term.
And what is the situation with the crop insurance? Mm-hmm. If you run out of money, you just can't pay people anymore? How does that work?
Well, crop insurance is a big part of the Farm Bill, and it's something that helps farmers deal with the huge volatile conditions that we have. And farmers are able to purchase crop insurance at a prescribed rate, and there is a subsidy for farmers so that their premiums can be reduced because of that. So implementing the crop insurance program is a big deal. It's a very widely used program. We use it, of course, on our farm, and the vast majority of the acres in Iowa are using crop insurance as one way to deal with the volatility that we face.
Is there anything else that ordinary non-farmers need to know or would like to know about the situation in Washington, both with the Farm Bill and with trade?
Well, you know, the trade issue, I wanted to just point out as well that there were reasons why we wanted to address trade issues. Certainly China has been a big violator of fair trade rules, and they do need to be addressed in order to have an equitable situation going ahead. And the administration does deserve credit for saying and that we do need to address those issues. Unfortunately, the way you address trade issues, it's a long-term process. It's not turn off the switch in order type of policy. Trade takes years to build up good trade partners. What we should have done is we should have gone to our trade allies, our reliable trade partners, because they have the same issues with China that we do. We should have gotten together and all addressed China and said, we need to address these issues going ahead and do it in a constructive way. Instead, the way we did it, we took a go at it. Well, first of all, we alienated all our trade partners, all our people that we've worked with for years and years and years. We started picking trade fights with them. And secondly, we went to China alone, and we made demands that we very predictably knew how they were going to react. They reacted, and farmer soybean prices started dropping. And that the sentiment that we need to address China is correct, but we bungled it. We really bungled it. We have areas of our country that grow soybeans, grow lots of soybeans. They all go on trains to go to the West Coast, and they all got sent to China. Those trains stopped moving completely. In some parts of the country, farm elevators stopped accepting soybeans from their farmers, wouldn't even offer them a bid, much less a low bid. So all those soybeans that were piling up in those areas flooded the market, prices predictably dropped, and that's where we're in now. Now, we hear that there is some talk going on with China. Unfortunately, we've heard this happen a number of times where there's a grand announcement about some trade deal that's going to have a huge impact on the market. And sometimes the market do react and they see that and the prices do go up for a short time. The follow through hasn't been there though. When we investigate what was actually agreed to, what the details were, we saw that was some of those benefits were those promises were not going to be followed up on anytime soon. They were greatly exaggerated, and prices continue to drop. So we were optimistic that we can make progress. We have to make progress. We're at a pretty low point in trade. So we're optimistic that they can make some progress, but trade is one of the analogies that I like to hear about trade, because I think it describes it accurately, is you build like you're going up on an escalator. It's slow progress, moving up over time. When things go wrong in trade, you take the elevator down. It goes down very quickly. So we can't expect that the problems that we've helped create are going to be fixed overnight. We know that it takes a long time to build these relationships. So that's part of the reason it's so distressing that we hurt those trade relations. It takes a long time to build those back up.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we've all learned a lot in this quarter of an hour. Do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make?
No, I just want to stress too, you know, I don't know if people were paying attention to the State of the Union last night. I certainly was. And I think there's some reason to be encouraged by some steps to say we need to be working together to come to some solutions. The distressing thing that I felt from a farmer standpoint is that while there was some language that implied that the entire economy was booming, and that's not the message we're getting from our farmers. And we didn't get any acknowledgement at all about what the challenges are for farmers right now. And if we can't acknowledge that we have a situation that has to change, then we're a long ways from finding better solutions. So I appreciate the need to work together, but the rhetoric hasn't matched with where we're at in the farm situation right now.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. Thanks, Ira.
Yeah.
For the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with the Farmers Union, that was Aaron Lehman, the president. And when I asked you for the name of another farm organization that could give us more information about the details of programs funded by this farm bill, you suggested I call Anna Johnson over at the Center for Rural Affairs in Nevada. What she told me is a nice supplement to your information. Let's listen in.
And I'm Anna Johnson with the Center for Rural Affairs, and I'm on our policy team. And we've been working on several farm bill issues for quite some time, and in the areas of conservation and beginning farmers and crop insurance also. So we're really glad that a final farm bill was passed. We were really concerned when the previous farm bill expired at the end of September last year, and we didn't have any authorizing legislation in place. There were several programs that lost their authority for a couple of months there. And so we're really glad that a bill has been passed. A couple of the things that we were glad to see We're in the conservation title. We advocate for working lands conservation, which these are these programs that allow farmers to implement conservation practices on their land and on their operations while maintaining production. So they encourage conservation practices like cover crops and buffer strip. Unfortunately, the Conservation Stewardship Program, which we're really in strong support of, is going to see a funding cut over the life of this farm bill. But we were glad to see that it was maintained in the farm bill. There was some pressure to fold it under the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, also known as EQIP. So we were glad to see it is maintained as a program. There are a couple other programs that were passed that support beginning farmers in rural development, which we're excited to see how they will be rolled out. That's the Farming Opportunities Training and Outreach Program and the Local Agricultural Marketing Program. So stay tuned. And then there are a couple other policy changes in the Farm Bill and in the areas of conservation and crop insurance that we're looking forward to. But generally, overall, we were, of course, then concerned when the new year comes around and the government is shut down. This is a really important time for USDA, obviously, because the new Farm Bill creates a lot of new changes that USDA needs to implement in their programs and policies, and it's just a huge effort on USDA's part, and instead, a major portion of the department was shut down. So we're glad they're back at work now. We're looking forward to the changes in rules and policies that they'll be rolling out to implement the Farm Bill. So,
did I understand you to say that you were pleased with some of the changes in the Farm Bill, the new programs?
Yes, no farm bill is perfect, but some programs that support beginning farmers and rural development that we're glad to see. One of the things that we were disappointed about is there's a small program called the Rural Micro-Entrepreneur Assistance Program, which is under USDA's Rural Development Agency. It provides loan funding and technical assistance to third-party organizations that then provide microloans to rural entrepreneurs. And so it helps rural entrepreneurs get their businesses started. And unfortunately, that program did not have its funding renewed in the Farm Bill. And it's a great program. It's been used all over the country. And so we're really hoping that Congress can figure out a way to restore our funding for that program by other means.
Now, you said Congress. I don't know whether we had more than one Iowan on the Agriculture Committee or not.
I can speak to that. So in the Agriculture Committees last year, both Senator Ernst and Senator Grassley served on the Senate Agriculture Committee, and then Representative King was on the House Agriculture Committee. Related and worth noting, Representative Young was on the Agricultural Appropriations Committee, a different subcommittee, but still really important for agriculture. And so, of course, then the House and the Senate both introduced their versions of the Farm Bill, and when they introduce versions of a bill that are different, then Congress creates a conference committee. And so Senator Ernst was on the conference committee.
Aaron Lehman said that King was not on the conference committee. Do you then have support for the agriculture bill from members who are not on the committee?
Yeah. There's always something that members of Congress can do to support bills if they're not on the committee. And they can do press releases. They can write letters. They can sign letters and work to get to invite other congressional offices to sign letters in support of legislation. Earlier in the process, they can introduce legislation that they'd like to see included in the final Farm Bill. So there's absolutely things that representatives can be doing who are not on the Agriculture Committee in support of agriculture. In this stage of the process, in the next year, we're looking at Farm Bill implementation. And so that's the stuff I mentioned earlier about USDA rolling out the rules and policies that address the changes in the Farm Bill so that the programs can be updated. In that space, the agriculture committees are going to be engaged in watching USDA and making sure that those changes are being done the way that they had intended. And then members of Congress who are not on the agriculture committee can still stay involved in safe monitoring those changes as well. The Farm Bill has a huge impact on America and on rural communities. We're glad that Congress passed a Farm Bill, and we're also glad that the government shutdown has ended, and we hope that we don't have another shutdown because we want to see USDA at work and see the changes in the Farm Bill implemented. And, thank listeners for paying attention to these issues, and if they want to get in touch with us to learn more about what we work on at the Center for Rural Affairs, they can visit our website at www.cfra.org.
Thank you. In case you just tuned in, this is KHOI Community Radio, and we have been talking to Aaron Lehman and Anna Johnson about the future of the recently passed Farm Bill. The rest of our program will deal with entertainment.
Not that.
Entertainment.
No one likes that.
Bread and circuses.
And as you can tell, some of our entertainers are already here.
We're already entertaining ourselves.
It's fake news.
Okay. We have a couple community theater productions from one end of our listening area to the other, one in Webster City, one in Ankeny. But that'll wait because we have Laugh Out Loud.
Yes.
With Tom and Doug. And we have Doug Gentile and Tom
Florek. Yes. Yes. I'm here.
And the author and composer of the production they're going to be in this Saturday.
He's the Shakespeare of Laugh Out Loud.
Let's just say producer. And maybe a writer of a lot of skits. But I don't write for Tom and Doug. And none of my compositions are in the show this year. But theirs are.
He's blaming us for our own music. That's not fair.
That's right. I think you told me that you're going to have a disclaimer that the organization that you are doing this to benefit is not responsible for your content.
That's absolutely true. This is free will donations will benefit Access, which is the women's shelter here in the Ames area. This production will be held at Unity Church of Ames, and of course our stars are our hosts are stars at KHOI Radio, and none of them are responsible for the content.
So. Doug is irresponsible for all content.
I am.
And if you listen to their regular show on KHOI, which is when?
Monday evenings at 8:30 and Saturday mornings at 11:30.
Oh, I love that radio voice.
Oh, yeah, that's my FM voice. Thank you very much. You're listening to the dulcet tones.
If you have not been listening in at those hours, now you get a little sample.
Yes.
And so,
we haven't talked about this, how this came about initially, because this is the third annual Laugh Out Loud benefiting Access, and it brings together a whole community of talented performers from the Ames and surrounding areas.
Yeah, we have a whole cast of zanies, people who are willing to get up on stage and make an absolute fool of themselves in order to entertain people.
The
only criterion for this show is that it has to be funny.
Oh, man. We're going to be in trouble.
Oh, man, the pressure's on now.
Is this the Laugh Out Loudest?
yeah, this year three, Laugh Out Loudest.
That's right. We'll have a meter rating the applause. No, it's simply because at this time of year, people need to laugh. And, you know, there are events going on in the world that people need to laugh about.
Yes,
the Farm Bill was hilarious.
Yes. We need entertainment. We need to refocus people's brains on something other than what they're seeing around them. It's the most helpful thing we can do is to distract them from whatever is happening, because therefore people can get things done if nobody's paying attention. That's why we do Laugh Out Loud. Bread and circuses. That's what we need more of.
Well, let me just say that this is really a variety show, and there's going to be a whole variety of things. Everything from Tom and Doug's songs and humor, which is very different from anybody else in the world, I'm pretty sure. We also have other funny songs. We have skits. We have magic. We have poetry. We're just going to try to do it all, whatever is funny.
The magic. So if you came down to the Ames Farmers Market on Main Street anytime this summer, you might have seen Christian doing his street magic out
that's
there.
That's the guy.
Yeah, and he's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
so. I can't believe you got him part of the Laugh Out Loud.
And
wonderful.
Who is this?
He's a young kid. I can't read from here.
Christian Mannell.
Uh-huh, and he is he's a really good close magician, so you can stand right in front of him and watch exactly what he's doing and still – still miss it. And, you know, he's quite funny in the way he does it, too. So he's going to be a new addition this year, and I think a really good one.
Okay. Well, so our listeners are waiting.
Uh-oh, they're waiting.
Well, they only have to wait until Friday because there are two performances.
Yeah, well, you're sitting here with instruments your laps, and I think that you must be eager to give us a little sample.
I think someone's eager.
Yes.
So, instruments of distraction, Tom. Yeah.
Okay. You tell me which song we're doing.
Well,
these guys are always very well prepared, as you can tell.
Wait, are we supposed to do something here?
Yeah, this is where we were doing the pregnant pause. Oh, this is a wonderful song. You know, Doug travels a lot. And Doug is a Buddhist monk. And Doug actually went to the Himalayas, and he was searching for the truth. He wanted to know what was the truth. And he came back one time from one of his trips, and he told me, Tom, I have found the truth.
I climbed the Himalaya. I searched in every holy town. I went from guru to guru until I finally found. I found the answers to the questions I tried so hard, demanded proof. And all my searching brought me answers. I was rewarded with the truth.
It was the truth?
It was.
The real, real truth?
Capital T truth.
Oh, man, I gotta know this. You gotta tell me what the truth is. What is the truth,
Doug? I don't think you can handle the truth.
I can handle it. I know. I'm an adult. Please tell me what the truth is.
Yoga hurts. And meditation is boring. Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Meditation is boring, and yoga hurts.
You know, that's wild because I also did a lot of spiritual study and I came to learn my own truth.
Well, tell me.
I read every self-help book, burned every incense stick and sage. And after 40 years of classes, I've solved the mysteries of the age. I found the answers to the questions that I had searched for since my youth. And after buying all that wisdom, I was rewarded with the truth.
The truth?
The real truth.
Wait, I found the truth. How can you find the truth too?
I found the truth. It was inside my football helmet, and this is what it was. Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring.
Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Meditation is boring, and yoga hurts.
Now everyone sing along this time, right from the behind the wheel of your car. Come on, everybody.
Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Yoga hurts, and meditation is boring. Meditation is boring, and yoga hurts. Every time.
Really? It really, really hurts? Really? Pow? Like, ouch? Like, I can't stand this pain anymore, please?
Well, you can go to my wife's yoga class at Ames Racket and Fitness on Fridays at 5:30 and find out for yourself.
All right. That sounds great.
Aww. Wow. Hey, I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
How could you sing so well when just a week or two ago your voice – tell us about that.
I got a surprise and unknown illness that made my throat swell up, get all lumpy and disgusting and hunchbacked.
It was kind of a pregnancy of your larynx.
Exactly. and so I now have this very nice scar here, about an inch and a half across the middle of my throat, where the fine people at Mary Greeley decided to cut my throat.
Yes.
And
save me the trouble.
This is the first time I'm trying to sing since I wasn't sure I could do it.
So did they put in a little implant in to improve your voice?
One of those little squeaker things, you know, you're supposed to
have. It's radio controlled.
Yeah.
So now I talk like Kermit the Frog.
Well, so now you're going to be the DJs for this
yes.
show, right?
Yeah,
you're
we
the
bring
hosts.
Them on and get them off. That's what we do. We right. Anybody that sits on there, too, I'm going to have like a little stopwatch. Hey, you're on too long. You're getting off the stage right now. Yeah, a little gong maybe. Yeah, that's a good idea, Clark.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
So, no one's done that before. Yeah.
And as I recall from your previous LOLs,
yes.
You have skits that are a little bit reminiscent of another show that has initials, and I'm not sure that I could say those initials because they are
sure.
might be copyrighted.
Austin well, Harriet?
It's S ampersand L. Yes, that's what we've come to understand.
Really?
Yes, ampersand L.
Yeah, we do skits kind of in the style of Saturday Night Live, and before that,
wait a minute.
Laugh In.
The ampersand stands for night?
Exactly. See, who knew? Who knew? I've been using it wrong all these years.
But our
M Night M's, yummy.
I would have rather, I tried to go for Gilligan, but these guys picked a different show.
Now, we can do Gilligan. We can do anything that's funny. Our humor is drawn from all decades, really, and, you know, things like Laugh In, Randy Rainbow, Monty Python, Tracy Ullman. So other comedians, we borrow because this is for charity.
That's right. So you can actually say this on the air. The FCC will let you say things like that on the air. We hope.
Where's that list of words?
Come on.
There we go.
No, that's number eight. That's number eight. You can't say that one. Spitmo manometer.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you keeping track on your lucky scorecards at home, KHOI actually has a helpful little laminated sheet with the seven words we're not allowed
to
say.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yes, take it away from him. He's going to prove that he can read.
Wow.
Well,
whoa. Now I have to learn some other words.
Well, as you can tell, this is going to be a lot of fun. And can you just, because unfortunately we have so much entertainment here in
yes.
Central Iowa.
Bread and circuses.
That we can't give you the whole rest of the hour, which we would love to do. So you will have to come to...
Have to.
Unity Church of Ames at 9th and Kellogg is... And remember, they're not responsible for the content.
They're irresponsible.
But they have graciously opened the church and their stage and their...
Donated the space for us
Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30. And there will be an intermission and cookies.
What's the address? What's the address?
Well, 9th and Kellogg.
Okay, 9th and Kellogg. Okay.
Yeah. And so, Tom.
Yes?
We have a new album out.
We do. It's a Christmas record.
Yeah. So perhaps we'll offer that for sale and donate
yes.
all the proceeds
all the
to
proceeds.
Access as well.
Yes.
And you'll be ahead on your Christmas shopping this
for
year
next,
for once. Yeah, because it's our new Christmas album. So it's timely.
Yes. It's Christmas all year long here in Ames.
And Tom and Doug all year long.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you can
every
listen
week.
This twice.
Twice
every
a
week.
Monday nights at 8:30 and Saturday mornings at 11:30.
Brand new show every week that Doug makes me edit.
And then I'm surprised by, I don't remember doing that.
Well, it's great having you guys here at the studio.
It's good to be had.
Yes, it's so wonderful to be here.
Yes, and thank you for coming in.
And thank you.
Thank you.
And I think maybe we'll just listen in to what's happening in Webster City first, because it's pre-recorded, right?
And we'll see you all Friday and Saturday at 7:30.
Yes.
7:30.
Yes.
Unity Church.
Yes.
I'm Angela Rottering with the Webster City Community Theater. I've been involved since the year 2000. I chose The Trouble with Cats because I saw the play in Ankeny a couple of years ago. And when I first saw it, I thought, this is just really weird. And it took a while, a little bit of time, to get involved with the characters. But I fell in love with the whole play. I actually went to it because I am a lover of cats, and so the title intrigued me. But it has to do with personalities and people trying to get along with each other and the ups and downs of relationships, and then everything kind of coming together very nicely. It's a play that I saw, and it still is just stuck in my mind and in my heart to this day. So I brought it to the board for the planning meeting that we had for the season of 2018 and 19, and everyone okayed that I could direct the play.
Is it a musical?
It is not. It is strictly a play.
What is it about?
It is about two sets of house sitters that are hired by a woman named Joanna Berman. She's a Minnesota homeowner. They have a home on a lake. And she and her husband go traveling, and she wanted to get away from all the chaos that was going on. So she purposely double-booked these two sets of house sitters. So she gives the first set instructions and everything, and then she leaves. And as the first couple, which is Ivy and Philip Julian, and they're from New Jersey, before Joanna, the homeowner, left, she said, make sure you feed PJ six times a day. But she just left because her husband was honking the horn. And so the house sitters are like, well, who is this PJ? Is it a cat? What's going on? They don't know. And as they start settling in, another group of house sitters show up. And they introduce themselves, and neither set say they're going to leave. They both have been paid the $3,000 for the month, so they're both going to stay and house sit the house. And then you have the neighbors, which is Joy and Nelson Bombay, and they just kind of come over to the house anytime they want to. They don't knock. They just walk in and make themselves at home. So there you have three couples, three sets of couples trying to get along, and then you have eventually in the mix come in these three Cheshire sisters. Cheshire is their last name, and they are doing construction on the master bedroom as this goes on. So it's kind of all these different personalities, and I should say the Julians are a little more upper class, where Sunshine and River are more of New Age spiritualists, and they're vegans. So you have the clashing of those kinds of personalities. And then everybody's still trying to figure out who this PJ is, which they think might be a cat. So I don't know if that helps. It sounds very confusing, but it comes together very well. And it's just a lot of fun to see all the different personalities.
And it's a puzzling name for a play that has one cat that you're not even quite sure is a cat.
Correct. The author wrote it for his daughter, because she had a love for cats. And in the play, there are a lot of references to cats. So I have said to some people that are concerned, I said, you won't be allergic to this play because there is no cat, just a lot of references. It sounds like craziness, which it is. I think why I love the play is because it had depth to it. It wasn't only a comedy. There was some highs and lows, and there are some things that just really stuck in my mind and in my heart when I watched it and after I walked away from it. And it just teaches people to learn to be more accepting.
I think you have given a very intriguing description of the play. Now we need the information of when, where.
The dates and times of the play are February 8th, 9th, 15th, and 16th at 7:30 p.m. And the matinees are February 10th and 17th at 2 p.m.
What kind of theater is Webster City Community Theater, and where is it?
The Webster City Community Theater is located at 1001 Wilson Avenue, and it is located in an old church, but we do have very comfortable seats, and the seats have lumbar support. We also just recently installed the Loop, which is a hearing aid device.
That was Angela Rottering, director of The Trouble with Cats. For more information or tickets, go to the Webster Community Theater Facebook page. And now we're going down to Ankeny, and we have Allie Kerwin here with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Allie. You have a different kind of comedy with a very different kind of plot. It's Happily Ever After. Is that right?
Yes, Happily Ever After, a wedding comedy.
Okay. So how does that work?
I play Francie, and it's my wedding day.
Oh.
And at the top of the show, I have locked myself away in a room, and I'm refusing to get married.
That doesn't sound like a comedy.
You wouldn't think, right? And I'm convinced myself that there's a fairy tale ending with another man, if he ever wakes up from his coma at the hospital. And so we have a full cast of characters. We've got the bride and intended groom, her brother, the caterer, the priest, the caterer's assistant, her maid of honor, and everyone's sort of trying to get this wedding back on the road and figure out what's going on.
Do these people know about the man in the coma?
Yes, we slowly get introduced to the cast of characters as the first sort of act comes up, and you know, different people are kind of finding out different information and passing it along to the rest of the family to sort of fully understand what's going on. And then sort of once you hit act two, this is a comedy farce, and everything starts to roll really quickly as everyone's kind of getting it together, or not, I guess, depending on how you think about it.
How did she meet the guy who's in the coma?
Just kind of by happen chance. She goes to the hospital to visit somebody who had a surgery and just happens to see him. And it's the man she's been dreaming about all her life, but he's in a coma, so she's never actually met him. But that doesn't really seem to matter to her.
This is not reality, right?
No, not at all. It's that little bit of being unsure or nervous right before you marry somebody, and then it just gets blown out of the water.
I see. So we don't know how this ends, right?
Right. We'll have to see. Do they get a happily ever after? Who gets a happily ever after?
Who gets a happily ever after? That sounds like a pretty big suspense story.
But it's fun.
And you are the bride.
I am.
So you must be pretty intense in rehearsals right now.
Yes, we're about to open up this weekend, so we're kind of putting on the final touches and making sure all our costuming and everything is working with our sets, and it's really an exciting time.
And would it be a spoiler to say whether you get to wear your wedding dress?
I am running around in a wedding dress for most of it, or for all of it. All of the show, I'm running around in a wedding dress. Not my wedding dress, but Francie's wedding dress.
Well, I guess that is a little easier for the costumers then.
Yeah.
So you are going to be opening this Friday. I guess that every single one of the shows that we've been talking about opens on Friday and then has more performances, right? When does yours open and where?
Yes. So we run February 8th through the 17th. So this Friday through next Sunday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday shows are at 7:30, and our Sunday matinees are at 2. And we are located on Southwest 3rd Street in Ankeny, Iowa.
As I recall, your theater is fairly small, which is intimate, isn't that? And it's almost always full.
Yes, we have some wonderful patrons. We seat about 84 in our theater. So the audience is right up in the stage, and you really kind of get to feel like they're the other actor in the show who are getting to kind of come along on this ride with you. And it's a really nice feeling, I think, both for the audience and for those of us who are on stage.
And I'd like to give a little plug to the Ankeny Community Theater. As you may have noticed, the director of The Trouble with Cats first saw that at the Ankeny Community Theater. And, of course, when the community theaters are so far apart, you know, it's nice to be able to, if you find a good play in one, bring it home and play it again. Because your theater, the Ankeny Community Theater, and the Webster Community Theater really do a terrific job with your plays. So,
thank you.
So it's probably even fun to see them in both places and see how they compare. But yours you've run through the times again, and how people can get tickets.
Yes, February 8th through the 17th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday shows at 7:30. Our Sunday matinee is at 2. You can get tickets at AnkenyCommunityTheater.com or by calling Midwest Tix.
If anybody wants to, they can hit more than one of these productions in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. It's a great time for theater in Iowa.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Allie.
Bye.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host for today, Susan Franzen. Other voices you heard were Aaron Lehman, Anna Johnson, Clark Ford, Doug Gentile, Tom Florick, Angela Rottering, and Ali Kirwan. You can listen to today's Local Talk Show and any of our past Local Talk Shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your newsfeed. This is a new service. We're going to start trying to post our shows online on the Facebook as well as in our website. Local Talk was engineered by Aladdin Al-Qatari. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was The Truth by Tom and Doug, a preview of the music from Laugh Out Loud. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878, or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Look for the yellow donate button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.